For many people, Christmas is a combination of facts and fiction. For many people, Christmas is a combination of religious truth and tradition. At the same table around Christmas, there might be talk of Santa Claus and Jesus at the same time. There is, at most Christmas celebrations, there is the giving of gifts, which is often a sacrificial thing because you have given out of what you have for somebody else. But Christmas also has the selfishness of eagerness of, ooh, what did I get? What's that in the package? Christmas is a time where there is a lot of nostalgic remembrance of traditions, of meals that are had, of smells that go with the kitchen you grew up in, of things your family did that were just so much a part of who you were and what you are remembering. But Christmas also across America is sparking such a debate. There are cities, towns, even our nation's Air Force in Colorado Springs fighting against having a nativity. What is the nativity? Simply the manger scene with Joseph, Mary, and the baby. To even have that on public ground today is cause for reproach, cause for controversy. And sometimes, because of all the things that go into what we call Christmas, it is difficult to separate out truth from tradition. I'm going to put on the screen this morning many of the verses that we're going to read so that if you do not have access to a Bible, you can see them this morning. But I want to begin by reading a familiar passage out of the book of Luke, because though there was no Santa Claus for the very first Christmas, there was no snow and reindeer, there were no gifts under a tree to be unwrapped, there were no crowded malls, no angry shoppers, no Black Friday, no Cyber Monday, no gift cards, no overnight deliveries by UPS and FedEx. There were some things that may be in our heads that were a part of that first Christmas, if we want to call that, the day that Christ was born. One of those things was a gathering of families. The Bible says this, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. But they were also there. And so it was accomplished, was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, why do I say gathering of families? Well, because all of the families in the Roman Empire and Israel at that time were all going back to their hometown. Even as we will do on Monday, my wife and I are going to go back to my wife's hometown. We're going to go where her family is so that we can celebrate the birth of Christ. They weren't gathering to celebrate the birth of Christ. They were gathering to get ready to enroll in the census so that they could be taxed by the Roman Empire. But everybody was going back to their hometown, the town of their father's birth. So all of the families were gathering together in homes at that very first Christmas. But there was also shepherds and angels. Verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see here, we don't find snow, we don't find reindeer, we don't find any of these things that are commonly put in. We do find the gathering of families, we do find shepherds and angels, and we do find the announcing of a special birth. Note, I highlighted on the screen a couple of words. A Savior was to be born. Christ the Lord. What is a Savior? A Savior is someone who delivers. We could also use the word deliverer. What is the purpose of a deliverer? What's the purpose of a Savior? A Savior is someone to rescue you from something that has you bound or trapped. If I am in the water and I'm drowning, that water has control or has held me. I can't get out. A lifeguard would be my deliverer. If I have just had a car accident and I am trapped, pinned in that car, I need a Savior. I need someone to take me out of that. Well, why was there a Savior born? There was a Savior born because every man born into this world has something that binds him. Every man ever born into this world has come into this world with something that has so gripped his heart he hasn't been able to get rid of it by himself. People say, well, I don't think so. Look at all the shootings that go on in our schools across this land. It's not because of guns. If there wasn't guns, there'd be stabbings. Why is it? Because there is sin that grips the heart. You think about the alcoholism that plagues our country. It's not because man doesn't have anything else to drink. It's because sin grips the heart. You think of all the homes that are divided and broken up. And why? Because of fighting that took place and someone finally decided, I don't want to be a part of that. What's at the core of that? There's sin that grips the heart. That there is that fighting and that turmoil constant within the home. Sin has gripped the heart. You look at our politicians, and though there are some who do, on occasion it seems, do the right thing, speak the right thing, there is so much corruption across our land as it comes to politics. And why is that? Because sin grips the heart. It tempts our leaders to give in to bribes and things that will bring a kickback to them. But we don't have to look up in Washington to find sin. We simply need to look at our own heart and see that there is a pride, a covetousness. There are things that are in our heart that grip us. And the Bible says, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. This is good tidings, because the earth had their hearts gripped. There's something called sin that still grips our hearts today. There was gatherings, there were shepherds and angels announcing, and there was also anticipation. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 25, the Bible says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The angel said to the shepherds, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now Mary and Joseph take their son, Jesus, into the temple, and Simeon is all excited. He's waiting for this hope of Israel, and God comes to Simeon and says, you're going to see the Lord's Christ, or Christ the Lord, the one that had just been announced, just 8 days after the birth. There were also anticipation, as Anna in Luke chapter 2 also was anticipating. The Bible says in Anna, it was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 70 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, that moment that Jesus was brought in by his parents, gave thanks likewise, like Simeon had done, unto the Lord, and spake to him, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. There were people waiting for God's hope to free men from this thing that gripped them. There were people who were waiting for the redemption, even as we have at Christmas. We have quite a bit of anticipation in a lot of homes. Many times it's for selfish reasons. But sometimes it's anticipation of family that's coming. Sometimes it's anticipation of what might happen on a special Christmas that you've planned. But there was anticipation at the very first Christmas, because Israel was waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a Redeemer. And he had come. And there was also, as we give gifts, there were also expensive gifts at that first Christmas. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11, the wise men that had traveled from the east had come, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, worshipped this little boy. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought to Jesus expensive gifts. Now that not the very first Christmas, but sometime after, But they had already begun their journey, even as it was the time of his birth. The very first Christmas, as we talk out of the scriptures this morning, was a time where there was a gift that was wrapped and was delivered. That gift was given to one family in one city, but would be for everyone in the world. That gift is what provides the wonder of Christmas. And in Matthew chapter 1, I want to read for you out of Matthew 1, 18 down through verse 25. In these verses, we will find the text for this morning's message. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18, we're going to read down through verse 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they were come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the Savior that was told to the shepherds. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, of the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. There was a special gift. We find it in verse number 23. The text, we find all of our answers right here. The special gift was that God gave himself to man. God is our example of giving. It was sacrificial giving that he gave. He gave himself. The Bible says that God with us. This baby was going to be called Emmanuel. That's God with us. It wasn't just any baby lying there. You know, in our newspapers, we find at the beginning of every year, they'll take a picture of the first baby of the new year. This was more than that. This was a special child. Not just because it was Mary's first child. It was because God gave himself to man. There was a special wrapping to this gift. Again, verse 23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God took upon himself human flesh. God wrapped himself in a clothing that was human flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 4, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means God doesn't have a body. But God, in order to give himself to man, took on himself, wrapped himself in human flesh and gave himself to man. He was born as a baby, a literal baby, one that could be held and touched with skin and hair and eyes and fingers, just like we do. A man-child was born. In this passage, God put on human flesh. When people saw the baby Jesus, they saw a baby. When people saw the young child, they saw a child. When those people saw Jesus walking along the seaside with his disciples, they saw a man. But something was different because when they heard him speak, they heard God. It was an amazing thing. This flesh had within it God. And the Bible says he spoke with authority, not as the priests and not as the scribes. He spoke as God speaks. And the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are. That means he had human flesh that could suffer or have a temptation, a thought presented for him to consider, to fulfill. The Bible says this one, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, 7, and 8. The Bible speaks here in verse 5. It says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we begin in verse 6, we're talking about Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why did he not think it robbery to be equal with God? Because he was. He didn't take anything away from God because he was God. Who, being in the form of God, he was God. but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. In the form of God, but made in the likeness of men. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There was a special gift God gave himself to man. There was a special wrapping. God wrapped himself in human flesh. And again, in this verse, we find, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The verse begins, a virgin shall be with child. There was a special delivery. It wasn't the way it usually works. When I order a package from Amazon or Walmart or anywhere else, I expect UPS, FedEx, or the United States Postal Service to get something to me. I expect I'll see a truck outside and a man in a uniform that's supposed to carry it, bringing it to my door. I don't expect the neighbor dogs to bring it over. I don't expect some children from down the street to bring it over. I expect somebody to carry that to me who's supposed to be there. The Bible says a virgin shall be with child. That's not the way it works. It was a special delivery. It's not what we would normally expect. It's not what medical science would allow. But it's what God did. And without this, God could not have taken on human flesh. We want to see why this morning. There are some biblical truths that we want to lay a foundation for. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says God made man and he made woman in his image. God made man and woman without any sin. In Genesis chapter 2, God gave man and woman a warning. One warning. One command. Stay away from one thing. Don't touch it. This one's off limits. Don't eat the tree. Why? Because God is selfish? Because God wanted it all for himself? No. Because God knew if they ate it, they would die. God wanted them to love him and stay away from that thing. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 that when the woman saw that the fruit or the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wife, she took of the fruit and ate of it and gave also to her husband, and he did eat also that same fruit. And the Bible says that when they did so, sin entered into the world. They would die. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin, they chose to eat what God said not to, entered into the world. At that moment, before they ate, there was no sin in Adam and Eve. They were pure from sin. But at the moment that they ate, at the moment that they grabbed for that fruit, to eat of that fruit, their sin entered in. And the Bible says sin entered in, and with sin came death. And death catches everybody, doesn't it? We see that all around us. And the Bible says with death, the reason there is death on everyone is because there is sin in everyone. Everyone is worthy of death. Everyone is born guilty before God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says a virgin shall be with child. This is where the wonder of Christmas comes in. Some of you may have seen the miracle on 34th Street, you know. That's not the miracle. It may be a quaint movie, but that's not the miracle of Christmas. The miracle of Christmas is that God would take human flesh, and the only way for him to do that was for him to put himself inside of a pure girl, young woman, one who had never had a physical relationship with a man, and there's a reason for that based on what we just said because of sin. Look with me in the text, though. We want to see it. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused. What's espoused mean? Means like engaged. They were, though, if you look down at the end of the chapter, verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible says they were espoused. What in the world are we talking about? In Jewish culture, there was a period of time called the espousal period, in which about a year's time, they were considered married, but they did not live together. They had no physical intimacy with one another. There was a pure time. Why? So that Joseph could see that Mary was pure, because guess what? In a year's time, if she had been fooling around before they got married, there would be evidence of that. If Joseph had, before they had come together, there would be evidence, because some other girl would begin to show signs of it and would announce that she had been with Joseph. It was a time to show the purity of the couple. And in this time, she is shown to be pregnant. And the Bible, we know it's not Joseph's baby, because Joseph was minded to put her away. Joseph said, oh, I haven't touched this girl. I don't know where this baby's from, but it's not mine. And he wanted to, this is the only time in Scripture I believe divorce is accepted, and that is right here, divorce, because they were called married in culture, but they had never physically come together. And he was minded to put her away, privily put her away, to divorce her. He was minded to do that. He wanted to, because he didn't want to take a woman who was guilty of a relationship before his own. The Bible says in verse 18, Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. The Bible says, verse 25, speaking of Mary and Joseph, and knew her not. When the Bible uses the word know, when it talks about a man and a woman, it's talking about the physical relationship of men and women, whereby a man and a woman can have a child. And the Bible says, he, Joseph, knew her not till Jesus was born. He never got close to Mary physically until Jesus was born. It was a virgin, and this is the miracle, because it takes a man and it takes a woman in order to produce a baby. Except when that baby is God. Why does it need to be a virgin? Because this child would not inherit the sin nature that every other child inherited. You see, the Bible says the seed of man, the seed of man, the seed of man. But in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we find that God speaks of the seed of the woman. The woman doesn't have the seed. How could it be the seed of a woman? I will put enmity, Jesus, God said, to the devil between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God made a promise to Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, and he said this, there's going to be a child that is born of a woman without a man. It's going to be her seed. And you say, well, they don't have seed. That's because the Bible says this child was conceived of the Holy Ghost. God put the baby inside there, didn't need man's seed. Every other baby born other than the Lord Jesus Christ came from the seed of a man into the woman, and the sin nature was passed to every single one of them. But when Jesus was born of a virgin, it must have been a virgin, or he would not be God in the flesh, because he would have inherited the sin nature like everybody else did. Being born of the Holy Ghost, he did not have that. Jesus then, and this, the wonder and the miracle, was fully man and fully God. Fully man, he had human flesh just like we do. Fully God, he never had sin. And God fulfilled one of the oldest promises. And this, when we read about Anna, this, when we read about Simeon, this is what Israel was anticipating. One day God is going to give us a Savior, one who will come, who will be pure, who will be clean, who will have the ability to rescue us. And the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christmas speaks of an exciting gift that God gave to all men. Though I do not know the actual day, I do know that he came, because according to the word of God, he did. Christmas speaks of an exciting gift that was given. God became man, not for one family, but for the whole world. See, Mary was the one to cradle that baby. Joseph got to be, as it were, the stepfather of our Savior, and to watch him grow and to teach him how to do the things that he did. But it wasn't for them alone. It wasn't just for Israel alone. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't have everlasting life when you have the sentence of death in you, when you have death that is your dessert, what you deserve because of sin. But they that would believe would have everlasting life. An exciting gift, for God gave it to the world. God became man to satisfy the wrath of God. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. You say, well, I'm not wicked. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself. The Bible says all are born sinners, and all sinners deserve death. And God is angry, not just say the wicked, God is angry with sin and with those who do sin, but He loves them, John 3:16, and He sent His Son so that we could have God's wrath appeased, so that God could receive us. God became man, not just for one family, but for the world. God became man to appease His own wrath against man. God became man to rise again so that death could be conquered. The Bible says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. How does a man trust in himself when he is destined to die? He can't. We all born having the sentence of death upon us. God says the reason now is that you would not trust yourself, but would trust Me, the one who can raise the dead. The Bible says that death is swallowed up in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the one that was prophesied, Emmanuel. God became man so that man could have a way to be forgiven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, He is the Savior, Christ the Lord. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call upon Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Christ's birth is a miracle, and it's worth remembering. As any act of God is worth remembering, but may I remind you this morning, the Scripture is clear, the miraculous birth is not the end, it is not the goal, it is just the beginning. God became man to die in our place. God became man that after the death He might rise again. God became man so that He could come again one day and receive us, those who are His own, those that receive Jesus Christ, unto Himself. Christmas is spectacular. I enjoy celebrating the incarnation, that is, God putting on human flesh. I enjoy that. But it's not the end of the story. In America, because of the traditions and because of the fiction that goes with Christmas, Christmas almost becomes the end of the story. And why do I say that? All year long, stores are building up to 1 month of sales. You know, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and this time of sales between Thanksgiving and Christmas. If they didn't have that, many stores would have to fold. They make their greatest profit. And it's like they build up and it's all of a sudden Christmas is here and then boom, it's gone. It's like it's the end goal. I remember Christmas morning, I don't know if any of you were like this Christmas morning. You know, I went to bed and didn't sleep a whole lot because I was thinking about where all the presents might be and if they were going to get under the tree, and I didn't see any when I went to bed, and I wonder what they'll be, and I wonder what might be for me, and I wonder what I'm going to get. And then Christmas morning, I'm so excited because somebody's... I had a brother who would not get up. Or sister, and would not get up. I had a brother who was up before I was, always ready. But you're waiting on somebody so you can open those gifts, and there's such anticipation building, and you open those gifts, and by noon, everybody's fighting. And discontent with the packages they've opened. It's like Christmas, the unwrapping is the end, and God says it's not. We get up, and you know, Christmas comes, and we get our box of things out, we open our box, and we put the nativity up, and we go, oh, yeah. And we come over here, we put up these decorations. And you know what we do every year? Every year we get out a little manger with a little baby Jesus, put him out there, wrap him up, put him back. Every year we get out the same little Jesus, put him back out there, this little picture of what Jesus was. It's not the end. The Old Testament believers were looking forward to the coming of Messiah. What are we looking forward to? Guess what? The coming of Messiah. He's already been, He's provided salvation, and He's coming again. It's not the end. Christmas is not the end. This little celebration is just a momentary remembrance of Him becoming man as we look forward to Him coming again. God has a much greater plan than just a birth. Though that birth was spectacular, a virgin shall be with child. Maybe instead of thinking about what Santa could bring somebody, maybe we should think this Christmas about what God has already brought. Maybe if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would let this Christmas be the first Christmas that you have a biblical Christmas, where you receive the gift that God gave to man. Not worried about any of the other gifts, not worried about any of the other things that people might say or do. There were some who weren't ready when Jesus came the first time. And unfortunately, the Bible says some will not be ready when he comes the next time. And I would hope that having heard the gospel, knowing that Jesus loves you, knowing that he died to save your sins, you would get ready even today, even this year at Christmas time, you would get ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ.